this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord have mercy. The testimonies just keep on coming. Amen. Praise God. That's what happens when the people of God go to the throne. Amen. They move heaven. Stand with me all over this house today. I know we're challenged for time today, but I do have a word from the Lord I want to bring to you for just a few moments here. If you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, Genesis 45. I'm going to be reading verse 9. It's so wonderful to see everyone in the house of the Lord today. It's so great to see Ed and all of our visitors. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all of our visitors today? It's so wonderful to see you in the house of the Lord today. And we're thrilled that you're here with us. Before I begin reading in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, we're taking our text today from the storyline of Joseph. I mean, remember the story of Joseph. We're taking our text today from that storyline, and Joseph had recently been reunited with his brothers as they came to the land of Egypt to purchase grain in the midst of a famine. There was a famine in the land. People were dying and people were starving to death. And the Lord had miraculously positioned Joseph in a place where he was in control over all the resources in the land of Egypt. Amen. And here in this text, we see that Joseph is sending word to his father Jacob to bring his family and to dwell near Joseph in Egypt in a land called Goshen. Amen. And this is where we find ourselves in the text today. Join me in Genesis 45. If you do not have your Bibles, the scriptures are provided for you on the screen behind me. Genesis 45. Somebody shout out yes when you get there. Yes. Amen. Genesis 45, verse 9. The word of the Lord says that Joseph sent unto his father and said, "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years more of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." One more place of scripture, the book of Genesis, the 47th chapter and the 27th verse, we see that Jacob had brought his family down to Egypt and dwelled in the land of Goshen. And here in Genesis 47, we see the result of Jacob listening to his son Joseph. Genesis 47 and 27, the word of the Lord says, "And Israel, Jacob, dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and they grew and multiplied exceedingly." They grew and multiplied exceedingly. I want you to lay your Bibles down in your seat for just a moment. Clap those hands unto the Lord. Amen. And give him some praise for what you feel in this house today. Come on, let there be some praise in this house. Come on, let there be some praise in his people. Let there be some praise in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. We're thankful today. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on this topic, a feast in a famine. A feast in a famine. Amen. We all know the story of Joseph. We all know the hard times that Joseph went through. We know the difficulties that he had. We know that his brothers conspired to kill him. But thank God for one of the brothers who stood up and said, he is our blood and we are not going to kill him. Let's just throw him down in a pit. And then they sold him to a band as they came by, a band of merchants. And then we know that he ended up in Potiphar's house. And the Lord began to bless him in Potiphar's house. And then all of a sudden his wife, Potiphar's wife, desired Joseph. And Joseph would not betray his Lord, so he turns her away, and she gets mad and makes up some lies about him, and he ends up in the dungeon. Amen. And from there, we know that he run into the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. Praise God. How many know the Lord will always put the people in the right positions? Amen. And he runs into the butler and the baker of Pharaoh, and before you know it, the Lord has exalted him and brought him to a high place, and he is over all of the resources of the land of Egypt. Amen. And from there, we see that Joseph's brothers come to the land of Egypt to purchase grain because there is a famine in the land. Now, what is amazing is that Joseph tells them to go tell his father to come to Egypt. And when you get here, when Pharaoh asks you what your occupation is, I want you to tell him that you care for the cattle and the sheep, because sheep herders are despised by Egyptians. And when you do that, he's going to send you to a separated piece of land called Goshen. Amen. And what is amazing is that the Lord used Joseph to place the children of Israel in an idolatrous nation without them being consumed by the idolatry. How many know we can live in this world and not be of it? How many know we can live in this world and not be of it? Amen. We don't have to be caught up in the mess. Amen. We can be blessed by God in the midst of a mess all around us. Amen. You see, the children of Israel living in Egypt is like the children of God living in this world today. Amen. Egypt was a place of idolatry. Egypt was a place of corruption. It was an exact opposite of Canaan. It was an exact opposite of what they were used to, but God used it to bless his people. Amen. God used it to bless his people. They were in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. Praise God. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. We're the church of the living God. We're the body of Christ. Amen. We're a royal priesthood. That's who we are today. Amen. And they were in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. Amen. And you come too late to tell me that you can't live holy and be effective in this evil world. In fact, you can't be effective in this evil world without living holy. Amen. Praise God. So you can hold on to your righteousness and to your holiness in the midst of an idolatrous nation. Amen. I am a firm believer that the children of Israel were intended only to be in Egypt for those 7 years, Bo. And the Bible says that the Lord revealed to Joseph that there was going to be 7 years of abundance, and then there would be 7 years of famine. Amen. And when the 7 years of abundance had come, the Lord moved upon Joseph, and he had put up in the storehouse. How many know we got to put up in the storehouse? Amen. We got to put up in the storehouse. We can't squander what God gives us and then don't understand why God didn't see us through what we had to go through. Amen, but there were 7 years of abundance, and then there were 7 years of famine, and the Lord had blessed Joseph to put up for the 7 years of famine. Now, I'm a firm believer that God's intention was to bring the children of Israel to the land of Goshen for 7 years while the famine was going on, and then they would be blessed enough to go back home to where God had given them. But let me tell you something, that their disobedience led 7 years to become 400 years. Huh? How many know disobedience always brings cursings. Disobedience always brings cursings. And I'm a firm believer that God's intentions was to bring them there just to bless them through the famine, amen, and give them a feast and a famine. But their disobedience caused them to be much longer. And even though Goshen was in Egypt, listen, the Lord had his eye upon that place because that's where his children were at. Huh? Listen, you know that statistics show that churches tend to do much better in rough, broken, poverty-stricken areas. You know why? Because those people are hungry. Those people need something. It ain't the rich people. It ain't the well-to-do people that tend to have a need for God. It's the people that are hurting that have a need for God. I come to tell you today, God will bless his people even in the midst of a mess. It don't matter if it's Egypt or if it's wherever you come from. God can bless you there. Amen. God's eye was upon this place because that's where his people were at. Amen. And the Bible tells us, and we heard preached at men's conference last month about how that the plagues began to cover all of the land of Egypt, but after a certain amount of plagues, the plagues in Goshen stopped. Amen. Why? Because that's where God's people was at. Amen. And the eye of the Lord was upon that place because that's where his people was at, and the plagues covered all of the land of Egypt except for the land of Goshen. The place Goshen is only mentioned two times in the book of Exodus. The first time in Exodus 8 and 22, the Lord said, I will sever in that land the land of Goshen. It was a separated place. It was a separated place. It was in Egypt, but it was not of Egypt. He said, I will sever the land of Goshen in that day in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And the second time was in Exodus 9 and 26, and it said, only in the land of Goshen where the children of God were, was there no hail. Amen. Hail was falling all over in the land of Egypt, but in that separated place where the people of God were dwelling, there was no hail falling from the sky. I come to tell you today, your blessing is in your separation from the world that you live in. You are in this world, but you're not of this world today. Hallelujah. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. You see, there's a reason why the people of Israel and the nation of Israel are so resented today. We hear all of these talks of anti-Semitism, and we hear all of these horrible comments made, and we see that nation upon nation upon nation desire to see the nation of Israel destroyed from off of the face of the earth. Amen. And what we see today, you can describe it with one word, and that's jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy is a horrible thing. And let me tell you something. The world is jealous of God's people. The world is jealous of the nation of Israel because you can put them in the most God-forsaken place upon the earth, and you're going to see they're still going to be blessed. Praise God. I wish somebody in the house of God today that's a child of God would understand that you can put you anywhere. You can go through the worst situation you ever dreamed possible and you'll still be blessed because you're a child of the King today. You're a child of the King today. Amen. I wish somebody who was ready for their cup run over, amen, would believe God and give him some praise in this house today. Amen. I wish somebody who's ready for a feast in the midst of a famine would stand to their feet right now and give God some praise in this house today. I wish somebody who's been going through some stuff. I wish somebody who's been having some problem. I wish somebody who the devil been fighting would stand up and say, you think you got me, but God has a place prepared for me. Woo! I might be in the midst of a famine, but God can give me a feast in a famine today. God can give you a feast in a famine today. Amen. So the Lord uses Joseph. He strategically positions him. Amen. And Joseph's brothers come, and they're so filled with remorse and regret, and he tells them, he says, listen, don't worry about what you did. It was the plan of God. God took what you intended for evil, and he used it for good. And he brought it full circle, and he has exalted me to a position where I am distributing the goods in the land of Egypt. The Lord had put Joseph in a position of a savior for God's people. Amen. Listen, people are jealous of the people of God today. And people don't understand why God's people are so blessed. Amen. And you watch the nation of Israel and how that God blesses it, how that God protects it. They are literally a recession-proof people. Let me tell you something today, folks. God's economy does not work like our economy does. I've seen times that our finances were so low and our problems were so great, but God never failed us. God never failed us. Let me tell you something. It's impossible. It is unearthly. It is not realistic to believe that 3 years ago a group of people would come together and say, we know some folks that ain't got no place to worship God, and God would open up a building, and before a month would come along, that building would sustain itself. And before you knew it, that people would outgrow that building. And before you knew it, God would say, I got a building right over here out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm going to prepare it for you. Woo. Why? Because God's people are recession proof. I'm not telling you you're never going to have a hard time. I'm not telling you you're never going to have some difficulties and some problems. You're going to, but God will see you through them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. There's a reason why people despise the people of God, is because the people of God are blessed no matter what their circumstance is. Your blessings will be determined by the life that you live in Christ. Amen. Not by the world that you live in. You see, I've been in this way long enough to know. Matter of fact, we watched it last month. If you lose your job today, God has a better one for you. Ain't that right, Brother Chris? Ain't that right, Brother Chris? Amen. If you lose your job, God has a better one for you. Huh? Man, I remember the look on that young man's face. He was so distraught. He come to my house to pick up that beautiful little baby, Millie. And, man, I could see his heart was broken, and he was so concerned. And I looked him square in the face, and I said, sir, listen to me. God has something better for you. God has something. Let me tell you something. It wasn't the next day I called him to check on him. And while I was on the phone with him, he said, pastor, I got to go. They're calling me right now. He calls me right back. He said, they just gave me that job. That's the way that God works today. God's economy is not our economy. God's going to do what he does, and he knows what he's doing today. Praise the Lord. There's grace even in Goshen. There's grace. There's a feast in the midst of a famine today. My God, they could have stayed. They could have stayed in Canaan and starved to death. But the Lord said, come on over here. In the midst of all of this idolatry, I've got a place that I have severed. I've got a place that I have separated from all of that idolatry and all of that worldliness, and I'm going to put you right in the midst of all of this mess, and I'm going to bless you. And that's exactly what God did. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, he will bless us. Your blessings are dependent upon your life in Christ Jesus and not by the world that you live in. The Bible teaches us, give and it shall be given unto you. Be faithful in your giving unto the Lord, and the Lord will remove the curse off of your finances. Blessed. Amen. Listen, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Praise God. Amen. I wish somebody who's ready for their cup to run over would give the Lord some praise in this house today. Amen. I wish somebody who's ready for a feast in the midst of a famine would give the Lord some praise in this house today. I wish somebody who chooses faith over fear would give the Lord some praise in this house today. I wish somebody who chooses feasting over famine to give the Lord some praise in this house. I'm not going to do without. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. God will bless you and give you a feast in a famine. But you got to choose blessings over cursings. You got to choose blessings over cursings. Let me give you a little illustration. How many remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible says that Lazarus was lame from birth, and they brought him and they laid him at the rich man's gate daily. Now every day that rich man would come out of his house, and here is this little lame man who's blessed by God, laying at his gate. Lame. And you know what he would do? He'd step over him. He'd step right over Lazarus. Now let me tell you what Lazarus means. The name Lazarus means the help of God. So let's just step back for a second. Let's do this again. Here's the rich man who comes out of his house every day, and the help of God is laying in front of his gate. My God, I wish I had somebody help me preach today. My God. The help of God is laying at the gate, and he steps right over the help of God so he can make his bed in hell. God has given us what we need. The rich man had exactly what he needed laying at his gate, but he chose to stoop over it every single day, and he chose to make his bed in hell. Come on, if you make your bed in hell, he's going to be there. You might as well give way to the help of God today. You might as well give way to the help of God today. Everything he needed was right there. All he had to do was talk to Lazarus about the goodness of God. But he chose every day to step over God's help and made his own bed in hell. My God, that'll preach today. If you all wasn't all worshiped out, you'd probably be shouting right now. Stepped right over God's help and made his own bed in hell. My Lord, church, listen to me. God will give you a feast in a famine, but you got to choose blessings over cursings. You got to choose it. We walk around every day with the devil on our shoulder with his little green helmet like Gazoo and old Fred Flintstone. Come on, calling us a dum-dum all the time. Oh, dumb. Remember how Gazoo used to call Fred dum-dum all the time? Hey, dum-dum, hey, dum-dum, hey, dum-dum. Right, we walk around with the devil sitting on our shoulder. Hey, dum-dum, just telling us this, telling us that. But I say it's time that we get the devil off of our shoulders. I say it's time we stop listening to the lies of Satan. I say it's time that we kick him off of our shoulder. I say it's time that we realize I refuse. I refuse to believe that I'm insignificant today. I refuse to believe that I'm a dum-dum today. I refuse to believe I'm a failure today. I refuse to believe that I'm not going to make a difference today. Amen. I'm a blood-bought child of the King. And I choose the help of God. And I don't want to make my bed in hell. Amen. I will live in this crazy world and still be blessed. I will live in this crazy world. Call me an extremist. Call me intolerant. Call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm going to take a stand for righteousness. I'm going to take a stand for godliness. I'm going to take a stand for holiness. You know why? Because we're not forsaken. We're not forsaken. We're not God-forsaken people today. We are not abandoned people today. We are not forgotten people today. We're the people of God. We're a royal priesthood. That's what we are today. Amen. And it may not always look good. It may not always feel good. And it may not look good right now. The load might get heavy sometimes. Amen. And there might be some obstacles in the road sometimes. There might be a famine in the land sometimes, but your God can give you a feast in the midst of a famine. Your God can give you a feast in the midst of a famine. And I never heard the Lord speak to me so plainly as he did this morning when he said, "You tell my people that anything is possible today." Anything. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, today is the day that you need to ask God for what's on your heart, because he said anything is possible today. Anything is possible today. My Lord, and then I come in here with all this busyness and all this baby dedication trying to get ready for preaching and the structure of the service and all of these things, and I in my flesh forget to tell you. And the Lord says, "Well, where you mess up, I'm going to fill it in." Amen. And this young man gets up here and it tells you exactly what God told me to tell you. Anything is possible today. Anything is, listen, don't slight God today. Anything is possible in God's house today, because you're not a forsaken people. The nation of Israel was not a forsaken people. God had strategically placed Joseph in a place to bless them. Amen. He had placed him in a position to bless them. Amen. You're not forsaken, church. You're not forsaken. There may be a famine in the land, but your God can give you a feast in the midst of a famine. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In me you might have peace. In the world, he said, you shall have tribulation. But he said, in me you're going to have peace, because he said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The famine was no match for the Lord. Come on, people, starving to death all around, but the Lord says, "I've strategically placed Joseph in a place to meet your every need." But you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to leave Canaan. You're going to have to reposition yourself, and you're going to have to get where I tell you to go, and that is in a separated place called Goshen. Your blessings await you when you live a separated life in Christ Jesus. Listen, he said, "I got a place prepared for you." If God's in Goshen, church, that's where I want to be. Come on, if God's in Goshen, that's where I want to be. If God's in Canaan, that's where I want to be. If God's in Egypt, that's where I want to be. Wherever the Lord is, that's where I want to be today. I don't care about what the S&P's doing. I don't care about what the Dow is doing. Come on, I check my 401k once in a while, just like you do, but my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. I want to be where the blessings are flowing. God is my provider. I don't put no stake in my own abilities. If I lose my job today, God will give me another one. If I lose my home, God will give me another one. Come on, why? Because he's my provider today. He's my provider today. I want to be right in the middle of the will of God, because that's where the healings are. Come on, that's where the grace is. There's grace in Goshen. And in the midst of a famine, God has a feast prepared for his people. Think about how blessed you are today. While everybody else was doing without, God has prepared for you a table in the presence of your enemies. My God. Come on, he said, I have prepared a place for you in the presence of thine enemies. That's how good God is. He will bless you even in the presence of your enemies today. I want to be right in the middle of the will of God. Even if all hell assails me, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me, because the Lord gave me a promise. He's going to look out for me. He's going to watch over me. He's got something prepared for me. Somebody clap your hands and give the Lord some praise today. There's grace in Goshen. There's a feast and a famine today, and God is able to do it. There's so much that we learn today from Joseph as he sat up on that hard ground in that cold prison. He sat in that cold prison cell remembering how that just 20 years ago everything was going great for him. He was his father's favorite son. He gave him a coat to signify it, a coat of many colors. How many remember Joseph in the coat of many colors? He was his father's favorite son. Everything was great. Everything was perfect. His father owned a lot of cattle. He had much resources. Everything was good. But one day, when he went out to check on his brothers in the field, everything changed. Everything changed. Amen. And here he sat in that cold prison cell, remembering those years ago when everything was perfect. His father had made him a coat of many colors, showing that favor. Things were good for Joseph. But by the time Joseph was 30 years old, he was second command in the land of Egypt. He had been through hell and back. He had been in the dungeon. He had seen so much turmoil in his life. Amen. But by the time he was 30 years old, he was second in command in all of the land of Egypt. And listen, he was still holding on to the dream that God had given him, that his brothers would bow before him and that he would seek and care for his brothers. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something today, church. If God gives you something, you better hold on to it. If God tells you something, you better hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Don't let hard times take it away from you. If God said it, you hold on to it. Amen. And I know there's some people in this church who have been going through some stuff. And it's time to just simply trust God. It's time to simply trust God. When Joseph was sitting on that cold prison cell floor, he had nothing to do but trust God. And let me tell you something. God operates in seasons, and not every season is a pleasant season. But one thing's for sure, everything works towards the good of them that love and put their trust in the Lord. Amen. So your season is coming. Just keep your trust in God. Church, it's time to keep your hands on the plow. It's time to stay down on your knees seeking God. It's time to get those hands up in the air and worship him at every opportunity. It's time to draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. It's time to make your request known to God, because anything is possible in this place today. Anything is possible in this place today. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Come on. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, one of the greatest things about serving God is that you don't have to worry about what lies ahead. We walk by faith and not by sight. We got to use our good sense. We got to use our good judgment. But we walk by faith and not by sight. No doubt they told Peter he was crazy when he got out of a perfectly buoyant, perfectly buoyant boat that day when he stepped out onto that water. They probably said, this dude is crazy. Huh? This dude is crazy. This dude has lost his mind. You can imagine what they said to Noah when it had never rained upon the face of the earth. And here this man is building this gigantic boat, and he's saying, the rain is coming. The rain is coming. They said, this dude's done lost his mind. Let me tell you something. When you walk by faith and not by sight, God will prepare for you a separated place of blessing, even in the midst of all of the turmoil. There will be a feast in the midst of a famine. A few years ago, me and my wife had the opportunity to take a trip with some of our family to the Bahamas. We got out on that big old cruise ship, and we put our life in that captain's hands. I didn't have no compass on me. I had no idea where that boat was going. But you know what we did? We trusted him to take us where we needed to go. We trusted him. We put our trust. It's sad to say we can put our hands in the hands of a pilot. We put our lives in the hands of a pilot. We put our life in the hands of a captain. We put our life in the hands of an employer. We put our hands in the life of everybody but God. I come to tell you today, it's time you put your life in the hands of God. And even in the midst of a famine, God will make provision for you. God will make provision for you. Listen, we went down to the watery grave of baptism. We come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. I love what Serena was saying a while ago. God didn't refurbish us. He made us new. Come on. He didn't take that old messed up bottle and just fix a hole in it. He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what he did for you. Amen. Listen, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when we went down with him in baptism, we made a statement of surrender that says, Lord, I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm trusting you. I'm putting my life in your hands that your will be done and not mine. Listen, church, Jesus was discarded by his own. Joseph was discarded by his own. Sometimes you'll be discarded by your own. Sometimes you'll be discarded by your own. But thank God there's grace in Goshen. Thank God he has a place prepared for us. Thank God he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank God he's our provision when times get tough. Thank God he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Even in the midst of turmoil, God has a place, a favor for his people. Let there be an amen today. Amen. Love not the world, church, neither the things that are in the world. For if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. Come on. All that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. We got to put our trust in God today. There is grace in Goshen, and there is a feast in the midst of a famine. Listen, our preservation is only guaranteed when we stay where God wants us to be. God gave us promises. But if the children of Israel had not left Canaan and gone to Goshen like the Lord had told them to do, they would have abandoned the promises of God. Our preservation is dependent upon us being where God wants us to be. That's what it's dependent upon today. God had placed Joseph in a position to save his family. It was symbolic of the Savior. Come on, he positioned him in the place of a Savior. So for Jacob to take the nation of Israel, for Jacob to take his children and to dwell in Goshen was for them to dwell near the Savior. The word Goshen means to draw near. That's what the name Goshen means. So when they came and drew near, and they came and lived in Goshen, which was near Joseph, who was standing in the place of the Savior, he had what they needed. So when they went to Goshen, they were drawing near to the Savior. My Lord, have mercy, that'll preach. How they were drawing near to the Savior. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And they were drawing near to the Savior. Even though Goshen was in Egypt, church, Egypt was an idolatrous place. Goshen was a separate place. It was a place of abundance. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Your abundance is in your separation from the world that you live in. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Stand with me all over this house as the musicians come quickly. We come to a close. We're going to sing one quick song today. Church, our preservation is dependent upon whether we're willing to be where God wants us to be. Something that is amazing today is that when Jacob's family was in the land of Canaan, when they left that land to come to Egypt, it is estimated that there were 70 of them. But when they came to Goshen, which was a place that God had prepared for them, by the time they left, they came in with 70. But by the time they left, it is estimated that there were between 2.5 to 3 million people that left the land of Egypt. You know what that tells me today? That tells me that God can multiply you in the midst of your enemies. That tells me that God can give you a feast in the midst of a famine. God can give you grace where there's idolatry all around you. It's all about whether you're willing to put your trust in the Lord today. Church, we got to work while it's day. We got to work while it's day, because the Bible says the nighttime cometh when no man can work. Let me tell you something. There is no labor in the grave today. There is no labor in the grave today. And when the rich man and Lazarus had died, the Bible says that the rich man had died and went to hell. But Lazarus was taken into Abraham's bosom. Let me tell you something. He looked. The Lord said, the Bible says that that he was able to see Abraham afar off. He was able to see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So he yells out to Abraham and he says, send Lazarus, that he can dip his finger in water and just cool the tip of my tongue. Church, there's nothing worth missing heaven over. There's nothing worth missing heaven over. Listen to me. The rich man died and he went to hell. Lazarus died and he went into Abraham's bosom. And he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and he begs Abraham. He said, send him that he can just cool the tip of my tongue. And Abraham tells him, he says, I can't do it. There's no labor in the grave. What's done is done. You have made your bed. He said, there's a great gulf affixed between me and thee. And I cannot send Lazarus to where you're at. Listen to me. There's no labor in the grave. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't be like those people that was beating upon the door of the boat in the days of Noah. Don't be like those people that said he's lost his mind. It's not going to rain. Come on, there's people today that say we've lost our minds. The Lord ain't coming back. They're going to soon find out. They're going to soon find out. They're going to be like the ones that was beating up on the door of the boat. They're going to be like the rich man who had died and went to hell and seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom begging for a touch, a tip, just a little bitty tip of water to cool the tip of his tongue. But he can't do it. There's no labor in the grave. And what's done is done. There's no labor in the grave. We've been warned today. We've all been warned today. You get one chance to make heaven or hell. Once your bed is made, it's made. There's no labor in the grave today. We're going to reap what we sow today. We're going to make our own bed today. And if we make our bed in hell, the Lord is still going to be there. Come on, the Lord is still going to be there. The worst part about hell will not be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the fire that is not quenched. It's going to be the ability to see those in heaven rejoicing. It's going to be able to see those that are worshiping God and say, man, I stepped right over Lazarus so I can make my bed right here in hell. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? There's no labor in the grave today. There's no labor in the grave today. Where you make your bed, that's where it's going to be. But the blessings of the Lord are waiting for you in a separated place. Come on, the blessing of the Lord, they're waiting for you in Goshen. A separated place, a place that God has prepared for you. But your, listen to me today, your blessings, they're waiting for you to reposition yourself. They're waiting for you to reposition yourself. The spirit of procrastination will take you to a place that you wished you were not at. Don't be like that rich man who stepped over God's help every single day and decided to make his bed in hell. We're getting ready to sing this song, and these altars are open. I'm telling you today, there is a separated place God has prepared for you. We are in a spiritual famine in this world that we're living in today. God has prepared a feast for his people. We're living in an idolatrous world. Come on, wickedness, evil things are rampant. Wickedness, unrighteousness all around us. But God has prepared for us a separated place. A separated place. There is grace in Goshen and there is a feast in the famine. These altars are open today. Would you come as we sing this song?